Hello, hello. Welcome to the show. I'm Joy Dooling, and you are listening to the Joy of Membership podcast. This podcast is for membership leaders. So we talk about strategies for attracting, engaging, and retaining members. But that's not entirely the focus of the show, because let's be honest here, there is no shortage of advice out there on best practices in membership. What we need to talk about is how to actually make those things possible in the real world, how to be absolutely sure that growth practices are going to stick, how to make those things easier, more consistent, and even automatic in some cases. Sound good? Then stick around because we're about to jump into it. Hey there, Joy Dooling here, host of the Joy of Membership podcast. Welcome to this week's episode. Joining me today, I have Farhad Khan, CEO of Grape Digital. I invited Farhad to have this conversation with me about onboarding because his company specializes in building member portals for associations and other membership-based organizations, specifically using Drupal and Civis CRM. You might say he's a tech engineer who is now using his superpowers for good, helping his clients build more engaging experiences for their members. And you know that's a mission that is near and dear to my own heart. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation with Farhad Khan. Farhad, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you could be here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Why don't we start with you sharing who you are and who you help?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm Farhad Khan. I'm the CEO of Grape Digital. I'm also a digital strategist myself. Now, at the company, we work with professional associations to help grow their association membership. And we do that by building membership websites.
Awesome. And you have your own podcast too, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. So our podcast is a bit new, but the company has been like open and we've been helping associations for over 10 years now.
So Farhad and I were comparing, we both have the same microphone, and apparently you can't be a podcaster without having this microphone.
So totally.
We have that in common. Well, I wanted to talk with you today about onboarding because I understand from your work, you help a lot of organizations with their member portals. So can you talk a little bit about why onboarding has emerged as an interest for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So one issue that we have been like noticing with associations is that the onboarding process is mostly non-existent, right? So whenever you go to a very big organization or what you'll typically find is that like when you just like sign up or something, you'll actually get an amazing experience working with them, right? But the associations, I think, are not doing it that well. The onboarding process is oftentimes just missing. You sign up as a member and all you get is a welcome email. You'll be lucky to get a welcome email, right? And in the welcome email is probably very boring. It's not super exciting. So that, and to be honest, when you buy something new, so say you buy a shiny new iPhone, right? So you're very excited about the iPhone for the first couple of days, right? And then slowly the novelty wears off. So a new membership sign up is just like that. So when the member signs up with the association, that is the time when they're the most excited, right? But we find that oftentimes the associations are not really capitalizing on that excitement because right then when the member is excited, they can actually like get them to do a lot. They can get them to like join an event or like sign up for things, programs and whatnot. But people weren't really doing that. So that's why we thought that we should probably focus on improving the onboarding process a little more.
Yeah, I love that. And I have found that to be true as well. Quite a few of my clients are small membership organizations, small membership nonprofits, and many times they are transitioning from a paper process. And recently I had an organization that they had been completely paper, so paper applications, members just mailing in checks. And I had asked, as we were setting up their systems, what happens after someone becomes a member? And really, there wasn't anything that happened. It's just the person got added to the mailing list because everything was paper. So there was nothing immediate that happened.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, what a missed opportunity. So that was the first thing we talked about was, okay, what can we have happen immediately when someone signs up?
Right.
If you were designing an ideal onboarding process for one of your clients, what sorts of things would you be thinking about? How would you approach that?
I think like designing the ideal onboarding is very difficult because the ideal thing never exists. But what we can do is that we can do the best we can do within our like constraints, so our budget and timeline. But if I were to like build the best possible solution for an association, I think what it would look like is when a member signs up, they get an amazing welcome email that is very inspiring to begin with. And then after that, when they join the association's membership portal. So we have to have a portal to begin with. So there has to be a member portal. So once you join the member portal, we probably ask the member, why did you join the association? What are some of your motivations? And maybe give them a few options. I know I'm probably asking about a lot, but this is my ideal view. So we ask the member about like some of their motivations, give them probably choices. And based on which choice they actually picked, we probably show them some next steps that since you want to do this, these are the next few things that you could do using our benefits to help you get there. So I would think the first thing would be this. And oftentimes we find that some people are taking onboarding to a whole new level. So they're probably overwhelming the member with a lot of information at the beginning, right? And the member is not ready. They're excited, but if they get a lot of information, then nothing is as exciting anymore. Instead, if we can actually give them something that is very relevant. So I don't want to send the member to the membership benefits page. That's like a block, a wall of text. So instead, if we can just point them to the things that they're really excited about, then that would be my ideal onboarding journey for the member.
What I love is that you are creating a personalized journey for each person based on what's going to get them excited. I love that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And something that is very important nowadays is that people are trying to build relationships with everyone, so with their customers, with their members. And so oftentimes companies and associations see these purchases and memberships as transactions. And like too many things have become transactions nowadays, right? But if we focus more on the relationship building, then I think our membership retention rate, our relationship with our clients will be way, way better. And then when it comes to membership, though, it's very difficult to make relationships with so many people at scale. So that's why if you can personalize the experience in by doing little things like this, you can actually build relationships at scale. And that's what we are trying to do with this approach.
Oh, yeah. So in the experience that you've had working with organizations, are there common pitfalls or places where you see organizations getting stuck as they work on setting up their onboarding processes or maybe setting up their portals?
Yeah, for sure. So the first thing that I come across all the time is that associations don't often know that their membership website is different from their website, their public website. We always tell our clients that the public website and your membership website has two very different audiences. They're completely different. So your public website is meant for the public, the broader audience in general. So this is really for your prospective members, probably not for your current members, right? And you cannot mix the two, because if you do that, then the members who are actually paying for your services and benefits, when they come to the site, they're lost. You know, they can't actually get the value for the membership. So the first thing that we tell people that you have to have a membership portal. So it can be a very simple one. It can be a small one. You don't actually have to like build a massive, massive portal with everything, but give your members one area, a login area where they, once they log in, they actually get everything in one place and they are not like left like wandering around on the main website, finding out which benefits are for them, which benefits are free and whatnot. So this is one area that we find for sure. And the second thing as well, when the members are actually joining, there isn't enough data that the associations actually collect at the beginning to guide them in the right direction. And number one, there's no data that is being collected, right? And sometimes like people collect too much data that they can't even use. So these are some of the challenges that we run into. So what we try to do is that we try to do a lot by doing less. So we want to focus on a very few effective things. So collect maybe two or three data points and actually use them and give the member a great experience.
So I had a great conversation with a client a while back, and they were wanting to make their onboarding experience more consistent. And I asked what members who come in and they stay, that they have some longevity, there's some stickiness to their experience. What is it that they do in the first, say, 30 days pretty consistently? Like, could she identify what staying members do? And she came up with four things that emerged from the data as she looked at it. And I was like, Could we just emphasize those four things in your onboarding process and just naturally nudge people to do the things that from the data help them stick around? So I think being strategic about the questions that you ask and the paths that you send people down can make a huge difference.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I guess in general, what we're trying to do is that give the member a wonderful experience. So whenever we're actually like having a touch point with a member, we're sending an email or whatever, if we are not giving them value, then there's no point in the communication that you just made. So we shouldn't just announce our events, announce our like news about the association, right? We should start by what does the member want truly? So what you're saying, Joe, is that in your particular case, we actually have solid data from the current membership on what is working. So what is working with the current membership, and you're trying to replicate that. So I think that is brilliant. That is brilliant.
Well, and one of the other things that annoys me about an onboarding process, just me personally, and I don't know if you've experienced this, but oftentimes when you come into a new organization, if they have an onboarding process, it is not timed exactly with what you're interested in doing. Like 3 days after you come on, they're sending you an email, but it may be something that you already did. And I'm definitely a quick start. I'm the kind of person that you were talking about earlier that when I join something, I dig in and I do it. And then I find like for the next 30 days, I'm getting these emails that are completely out of sequence. And I use the analogy that it's like getting teasers about Netflix episodes that you've already watched. It's like, no, I want you to know that I watched it and I'm ready for the next thing, not tell me about stuff that I've already taken care of.
Right, right. Yeah. And actually, to be honest, customizing the onboarding experience to that level is not easy. And there aren't actually a lot of platforms that can do that really well. So that's where customizing your member portal to your member needs is very important. And that's what we do, you know, for a living, right? So we build customized member portals. And we're actually like rolling out a new solution that is a full-blown member portal solution that we can give to our association clients without actually building it from scratch. And we haven't done a public release yet, but you'll be sure to like get an email from me when we do that. Joy.
I will be watching for that for sure.
for sure. Yeah. But it is actually possible. And how I would actually want to personalize the onboarding experience to that level, what you're asking, Joy, is that if there are five or six things that you would want a new member to do, right, when they sign up, if you simply just have a database of a checklist of those items, right? So two of them are done. So don't send those emails. Three of them are not done. Send the emails with those three. This is not difficult to do. It is a bit of work, but it is not too difficult. But people are not just doing that.
Well, if your contact management system will even tag people who have taken certain actions, then you'll know that they've done them or not, and you can base automations around whether those tags exist or not. So it's definitely not easy to do, but with some pre-planning, you can get better at it for sure. So if you're comfortable sharing, and you don't have to disclose any client names, but would you have a couple of examples that you could share about organizations that you've seen just really improve their onboarding process and what that experience was like for them, what they got out of it?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I actually have a great example. I can't mention the details of the project, but I'll say it was an Immigration Canada project. And what we did, the client was working on a project for new immigrants in Canada. And the whole process like for their onboarding and the whole program was based on the new immigrants signing up for their membership. And then immediately after that, they had to actually join a planning session. So a planning session, that would be like the one of the onboarding like steps. And in the past, before we started working with the client, they would just get a random email saying, welcome to the blah. And then the association staff will be chasing after the members to book their planning session, right? So what we did is that when I was working with the client, I told them, hey, what are the first few things you want the member to do? They were like, hey, you know what? I want them to book the first planning session. If you can get them to book the first planning session, then after that, while they're in the session, if they join, if they show up, right in the session, we can get them to book the next and book something else. So the biggest hurdle that we had was getting them to book the first session. Then I was like, why not make it part of your registration process? Like they have registered and then give them your upcoming sessions and get them to sign up for one of them. And lo and behold, it took us quite a bit of time to get this implemented, but I'll tell you, Joy, what ended up happening. We probably improved their engagement by 30-40% with the members. Wow. Right? So this is huge. And on top of that, they actually had two full-time scheduling staff whose primary job was to call people and book these appointments. I think we eliminated one of the jobs, which is not a great thing to say in general, but those people can actually focus their efforts on maybe more growth-oriented initiatives as opposed to just scheduling, which can be automated. But this scheduling automation that we did with the client was huge, huge. Even they didn't realize like how much return they actually would have gotten at the beginning. But in the end, it turned out to be amazing.
That is amazing. I love that example. It just shows you the power of automation. And yeah, I mean, being able to free the human beings up to do the things that you human beings must do and let automation do what the automation can do. That's just, it's a smart way to use resources.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And human touch is becoming more and more expensive nowadays. So salaries are going up, there's inflation everywhere, right? So it's going to keep on being more expensive. So why not automate these things? And if you have team members, if you have staff time, invest them on growth, you know?
So Farid, where can people connect with you if they'd like to know more about the portals that you build or the services that you offer around onboarding? Where's the best place for us to send them?
Sure. Yeah. So the best way to connect with me is on our website. It's at gripe.ca. That is gripe.ca. And I actually have a public calendar up there. You can just go to the website and book some time with me, and then I'll be there for you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much again for being here and sharing your insights into onboarding.
Thank you so much for having me, Joy.
Hey there, Joy Dooling here, back with a few thoughts about this week's episode. You know, a member portal really is important to effective member onboarding, but I also think that your portal can play a role in keeping members connected well beyond the onboarding stage. Some talk about member engagement, but I call it the fizzle factor versus the sizzle factor. A great onboarding system is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to getting members excited about what they'll be experiencing in their member journey with your organization. It's important to know that even if you make a great first impression, even if you give members exactly what they're looking for, even if you connect them to quick wins, even if you use the greatest systems and tech stack ever invented, most members will still reach some point in their experience at which enthusiasm and engagement starts to wane. The novelty wears off, other priorities begin to nudge in, they begin drifting away. That's the fizzle factor at work. Unfortunately, if you're not vigilant about it and watchful for the signs, it can really get in the way of your growth goals. No matter how quickly you bring people in on the front side, they just fizzle away on the back. The antidote is developing a sizzle factor that strategically kicks in to counteract that fizzle. But you have to be able to recognize the telltale signs. Now, some of those signs you're going to be able to pick up because of your member portal, because you're going to be looking for things like members who aren't logging in to the membership portal anymore, members who haven't participated in anything for a while, members who haven't engaged in discussions, members who stop opening emails and stop coming to meetings. Basically, we're keeping an eye on these members who have completed the onboarding process, but then they're getting into early engagement and extended engagement, and they're starting this pattern of drifting away. To be clear, I'm not saying to focus all of your energy on members who are onboarding or all of your energy on members who are at risk of churn. But I am saying if a red flag is clearly waving, it simply makes sense to try to address it, perhaps with a personal note, a missing you postcard, or a buddy or ambassador reach out. I often think about my own experience with gym memberships. Never once has a gym noticed or paid attention to the fact that I once was working out 4 or 5 days a week, and then suddenly I'm not going anymore. It's watching for things like that that can make a big difference to pulling members back in and keeping them connected in a meaningful way. For example, if you notice that member interest starts dropping at about month 5 or month 8, How about adding in a special new benefit that unlocks at that point? You know, if you can identify these patterns, you can actually build in processes that tempt people to take the next step in engagement, something to counteract that fizzle effect when you've clearly identified that it's starting to happen. Now, I would love to hear what your experience around this has been. Is there a point in your membership where you've begun noticing a fizzle factor? And have you put some strategies into place to address that? Drop me a line, let me know. So that brings us to a wrap on this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Farhad, and I will be back next week with another great interview. In the meantime, take care. Hey there, you made it all the way to the end. Bravo to you. I'm back in just one last time to remind you that there's a free one-page PDF available over at the website that shows you more than 20 ways that technology could be supporting your efforts to attract, engage, and retain more members. It's actually broken down into the stages of the member journey, so you'll know exactly where each piece fits. And everything that's on that one pager can actually be automatically done for you with software that costs less than $1,000 per year. So if you haven't already grabbed it, you can get your copy at joyofmembership.com/tech. joyofmembership.com/tech. TECH. Have a great week, and I'll see you next time.